Amen. Amen. It's good to be with you again and good to continue our time together. As I mentioned in our opening time that I was the youngest of our family and rarely heard the word no. Some of you came up to me during the connection time and confessed that you too were perfect children like me and that you were the youngest and you never heard no. But all of us, I know, from time to time have experienced the situation in life where we've heard someone say no to us, and someone has set a boundary, whether it was a parent who told us, no, you can't stay up all night and eat candy, you've got to go to sleep, or whether it was someone close to us who said, no, I'm not going to drop everything that I'm doing right now, come over to your house and hear your latest drama. I don't have it within me to do that. No, right? And no one likes to hear the word no. No one likes to hear the word no. And all these weeks that we've been talking about boundaries, my hope is that you can begin to hear no and that you can begin to say no, but in ways that speak to this deep truth, that it is through loving one another and it is through allowing God's love to work within us in healthy ways that we can set boundaries where we hear one another say yes and no. And we know that those yeses and nos are freely given. And we're going to talk today about some myths that we have come to believe about boundaries that prevent us, because we believe those myths, they prevent us from living holy and healthy lives. So that's what we're going to be talking about today. But if this is your first Sunday with us and you have no idea what I'm talking about, here is the 25-second summary, all right? Boundaries are those things that define what is me and what is not me. So whether the boundary is a really firm boundary or it's an unseen boundary, all of us know that there are things in our life which belong to us and don't belong to us. There are responsibilities that we have and responsibilities we don't have. And when we talk about boundaries, what we're talking about are those sometimes seen and oftentimes unseen markers between me and the other people in my life. And we're talking about how to be healthy. Now, here's the thing. All of us probably have found ourselves falling in times where we have really strong boundaries and really weak boundaries. And so I used some words a few weeks ago when we started to try to get a sense of categorizing or defining where we might fall on the spectrum. And so if you've been with us, you've heard these words before. Some of us are compliant people, meaning we say yes to everything. If you need us, we are there. We say yes. Even if it means we don't get any sleep tonight, I'm going to be there to help you, right? I'm going to say yes to everything. Oftentimes, I overcommit. I'm so compliant. Some of us, however, are avoidant people. We never ask for help. We don't want help. Stop bugging me. I can do it on my own. Our boundaries really tall, really thick, and we don't want or need any help, and we just would prefer you not even to ask about it, right? Third, and again, you can't volunteer other people. They can only believe this themselves, okay? So no nudging or elbowing people. Some of us, however, are a bit controlling. It's not that we can't say no. We can't hear no. Because we have a clear vision of what's supposed to happen. We know how to get it done. And if you would just do what I say, things will go a lot easier, okay? We want to control the situation. We always want to be in control. Some of us, however, are non-responsive type of people. And this is a little bit hard to understand because a non-responsive person is always present, but never there. They're the kind of person who never has an opinion, never wants to share an emotion. They'll show up and be there and do anything and help you, but they don't want to talk about it. They don't want to process it. They don't want you to, and they don't understand why you're so emotional about everything, right? Now, here's the thing. All of us may find ourselves in one or more of these categories, and sometimes we inhabit these categories with different people. Some of us may be really compliant with a parent or a spouse and really controlling at work, because that's how we get back at it, right? We say yes to everything at home, and so we're going to be in charge at work, right? or vice versa. So some of you may find yourself in different categories. But here's the thing. God has made us to reflect God's image into the world. And God is perfectly healthy, perfectly whole, and has perfect relationships with everybody. Even when we break those relationships, God still loves us. But here's the thing. God's love speaks truth in our life. And sometimes truth is hard to hear. As Tom read earlier in John chapter 13, literally hours before Jesus is going to be betrayed by one of his disciples, he says these words, "I give you a new commandment, that you love one another, just as I have loved you. You also should love one another, and by this, everyone will know that you are my disciples, that you love one another." What we're going to be talking about today is that in order to love well and to love truthfully, we have to let go of some of the myths that we believe in how we're supposed to relate to one another. So that's what we talk about with boundary myths. There are things, and we're going to talk about 8 of them. And we got plenty of time. We got like 15 whole minutes, right? More than almost 2 minutes a boundary, right? We have come to believe these myths, and they're hard to let go of. But if we let go of them, my belief is that we will be able to love one another better, more truthfully, and we will be able to receive love more honestly. A love that is given unconditionally, not based on what have you done for me lately. So, the first myth we want to talk about is, if I set boundaries, I'm being selfish. It's a myth that some of us believe that if I say no, if I set a boundary, no, I'm not coming to that, no, I'm not going to do that for you, that we're somehow being selfish. And the reason that this myth is so compelling is because we have confused selfishness with stewardship. Everyone can define what selfishness is, right? It's putting our own wants and needs before and to, not just before others, but to the detriment of others, right? We're so focused on ourselves, we can't even see other people. We're so self-centered, we can't see beyond ourselves. No one wants to be selfish. But setting a boundary is not being selfish, it's being a good steward. And this is what I mean by that. God has given us so many gifts, and in addition to all the gifts we think of, like money and the world, right? God has also given us the gift of time. God has given us the gift of energy. And God has given us the gift of love. But like any good gift, we can misspend it, and we can run out of it if we don't steward it well. And so if you're the kind of person who gives and gives and gives and gives until you collapse in a heap and then you can't do anything for 2 weeks, that's not a good stewardship of yourself. Yeah, you're giving to everybody, but it's not being a good steward. And if you run out of energy and run out of love and run out of time, and at the end of the day, you've given it all to other people and you don't have anything for God or anything for yourself or anything for your own family because you've been giving so much and committing to so many other people, that's failing to be a good steward. And so if you set a new boundary to say, well, I'm not going to volunteer for everything. I'm going to volunteer for one less than everything. That's not being selfish. That's being a good steward. And good stewardship requires us to set good boundaries. Okay? So I want to relieve you from the pressure of being selfish. You can be a good steward by what you say yes to and what you say no to. Now, the second myth I sometimes hear, and this can be particularly difficult in church folk, is we believe that boundaries are a sign of disobedience. If the pastor says, hey, I really want you to do this thing, and you really don't have time to do that thing, and you say no, are you being disobedient to the pastor? Don't worry, I won't hold it against you. Right? Or in a family dynamic, a sibling comes to you or a parent comes to you and says, I really need you to do this thing and you can't, or you really shouldn't. And you say no. Are you disobeying? Are you disobeying your family? Are you disobeying? Well, here's the thing. I can't answer every single example for you. But sometimes our lack of boundaries is a greater disobedience. And this is what I mean by this. If we say yes to something when we really mean no, or if we say yes to something when we should have said no, that is being disobedient. Rather, love calls us to speak truth to one another in love. So if we say yes when we really should say no, we are being dishonest. And that's a greater difficulty than being disobedient. James chapter 5, verse 12 says, let your yes be yes, and your no be no. But sometimes, particularly, now, I've only ever grown up in the South, right? I've only ever lived in the South. And so I don't know if this is unique to Southern culture or unique to Southern church culture. So for those of you who have lived elsewhere, gone to church elsewhere, maybe this is not your case. This is something I grew up with, which was when people should have said no, but they didn't want to hurt your feelings, right? What would they say? Let me pray about that. Right? Or some of you have experienced this. I had a pastor friend of mine make this reference last week. For those of you who are kids or still remember childhood fondly, when your parent would tell you maybe, what did they really mean? No. I just don't want to think of an excuse right now, right? Right? No, we're supposed to love one another, so we are supposed to speak truth, and let our yes be yes, and our no be no. Our third myth is, if I set boundaries, I'll be hurt by others. There's a real fear, right, that if I renegotiate a boundary, or if I say no to somebody that I've said yes to over the years, and I realize that I've run myself empty, and I've got to say no, will I get hurt by them? And here's the thing, it is possible that if you reset a boundary, that others will get angry with you. It is possible that others will respond with anger or with withdrawal. And you may be afraid that if you want to reset a boundary with a friend, that will somehow damage the friendship. So I want to tell a story real briefly about when I was in seventh grade. Now, I was not an expert on boundaries in the seventh grade. I wasn't. And I'm not telling this story to say, look how smart and wonderful Ricky is. It's only in hindsight of 30 years later that I can look back and say, oh, that's what was going on right there, right? So in seventh grade, my best friend, John Tate, and I got into a fight. All right. Now, I have to tell you, this is the only fight we ever got into as friends, right? And it was a physical fight, all right? So your pastor is going to confess the time he got into a fist fight with his best friend in the seventh grade, okay? If you've never done that, that's okay. Your pastor has. And in the seventh grade, this is what happened. John Tate and I grew up on the same street. We've spent our entire lives together. We're best friends. And in the seventh grade, we had a school schedule that had 6 periods in a day, 6 classes. I had history, first period. John Tate had history, second period. And our school had a policy that there were random checks to see that you had your book with you. So you had to have your book with you every class, and the teacher would sometimes check. And if you didn't have your book, you got a detention. So one Monday morning, John Tate comes to me frantic because he's lost his history book, and he has it second period. I have it first period. Ricky, can I borrow your book? Yeah, you're my best friend. Absolutely, you can borrow my book. I let him do it, all right? Tuesday comes around. What do you think happens? John Tate still didn't have his book. Ricky, I need the book. Can I borrow the book again? Yeah, John Tate, you're my best friend. Here's the book, right? Around Thursday, this is still going on, right? And now, I'm a little bit of a nerd. I'm a lot of bit of a nerd, right? and I'm getting annoyed, and I've asked John Tate, have you at least told your parents you're missing your book? Can you look for it? Have you done anything? No, I don't want to get in trouble. I need the book. And here's my thought. John Tate, you're going to lose my book. And now we're both going to be in trouble, right? So Friday morning, John Tate comes to me after first period, doesn't have his book. Ricky, I need your book. You know what I told him? Nope, can't have my book. But come on, man, get it, please, give it. Nope, don't. No. He storms off. Now, I did not know this because the teacher did not do a check in first period, but she did a check in second period, and John Tate got his attention. All right? On the bus ride home, John Tate is furious with me. Won't even speak to me. I start to walk off the bus. He comes right behind me. We're at the same bus stop. We live on the same street. He pushes me off the final step. I turn around, and I do the very Christian thing of pushing him back, right? Now, when I was in seventh grade, I was a chubby little kid, shorter than I am now, with glasses. So was John Tate. Our glasses go flying. This is the nerdiest fight you have ever seen in your life, right? He goes home that night. He has to get the detention signed by his parents because he lost his book. I kid you not, his dad said, your history book's been in my truck all week. Now, here's the thing. I didn't know it, but I had set a boundary to John Tate, right? And he reacted really negatively to the boundary. I acted and reacted poorly to the boundary, okay? But here's the thing. We're still best friends. We still text and call each other every other week. He's now a major in the Army. He's done 4 tours in Afghanistan and Iraq. I would never push him again. But our friendship survived a resetting of our boundaries. And here's the thing. That myth, if I set a boundary, I'll be hurt by others. People withdraw from me, get angry with me. Yeah, they will. But real healthy relationships survive resetting boundaries. If it doesn't, and someone won't stay your friend because they can no longer use the things that you provided, they really didn't value you. They valued what you could do for them. That's hard to accept, and it's hard to learn. But true friendships, true loving relationships will survive resetting healthy boundaries. Which leads us to the next myth. If I set boundaries, I'm going to hurt some other people. And that's really because we've been taught to use our boundaries as offensive weapons. Has anyone ever experienced the offensive weapon of the silent treatment? Right? That's a boundary that we're using against somebody else. Right? But here's the thing. Just because boundaries can be used as weapons doesn't mean you have to. So if you set a boundary thinking, oh, I'm going to hurt somebody else, you're not. Because a boundary, a healthy boundary, is a defensive tool, not an offensive weapon. Which means a healthy boundary is not the silent treatment. A healthy boundary is simply letting your yes be yes and your no be no. To speaking truth in love, to saying, I know you really need me to come over tonight and to let you to vent and to cry, but I've done that the last 5 nights this week, and I need a night for myself. I love you so much, I've got to tell you no here, so that next week I'll be re-energized to help you again. And again, most people in healthy, real relationships can survive that kind of resetting. If you're hurting somebody else by a boundary, that's not your fault. But it might cause a person to need to reevaluate what they really need in their life. All right, you're doing good. You're doing good. Let's push on. If the next myth, boundaries mean that I'm angry. If you reset a boundary or if you make a decision that you're not going to do something or you're not going to agree to something, somebody might say, you know what, You used to be so accommodating, and now you're just, what's gotten into you, right? You used to do anything for everybody, but you've stopped, right? You've changed. Why are you mad? Why are you mad at me? And really, for those of us who overcommit, or for those of us who our boundaries are so fuzzy that we let other people kind of emote all over us, from time to time we'll find ourselves getting angry, but at the wrong people. And so the myth is that boundaries mean that I'm angry. No, oftentimes anger is a sign of poor boundaries, because you've let other people's emotions so infect you, other people's desires, other people's needs. You've given and you've given and you've given, that sometimes your well is empty and all that's left is resentment, and you take it out on the wrong people. Boundaries don't mean that we're angry, but rather anger is a sign that perhaps we need to set some new boundaries in our life. I'm going to go to the next two really quickly, because the third one is a final story I got to tell you as we end up. Myth number six is that when others set boundaries, it hurts me, it injures me. And honestly, none of us like to hear no, but we will all live hearing no. Okay? We will live hearing no. No, I'm not going to do that for you. No, I'm not going to lend you that money. No, I'm not going to. We'll live hearing no. Sometimes, though, when someone sets a healthy boundary and we get upset about it, it's because we don't have good boundaries in our own life. So just notice that. Check that. Next to last, boundaries cause feelings of guilt. And I think in the church world, we are experts at guilt. I'm an expert at guilt because I feel guilty all the time when I have to tell somebody no. It's one of the things I have to pray to God about, because a lot of people ask pastors and church people for a lot of things. I feel guilty when somebody asks me for money. Years ago, I stopped carrying cash because I was giving it all away. And I realized I needed to steward my money a little bit better. Megan kept asking me, "Where's the money going?" We would help friends, we would help others, and I realized I had to say no, and for several years, I felt guilty. But here's the thing. Guilt and obligation is because we've often confused gifts with debt. This is what I mean by this. Love is a gift you give unconditionally. Debt is something you got to pay back because you owe somebody something. And so our love is to be given to one another unconditionally, which means no strings attached, which means we don't have debt to one another. We just have gratitude for the gifts that we give. True love is an unconditional gift. And like God, God desires us to pay Him back, not out of obligation or guilt, but to return in love, and wants us to love one another that same way. Okay. Finally, I want to do this because I want to tell a story. The final myth that I want us to give up is that boundaries are permanent. A lot of talk around boundaries, I think some of us will feel like, but if I do that, that's gonna forever change a relationship, and it's gonna be permanent, and I'm afraid of what that's gonna look like. If I have to tell my best friend no, or if I have to say yes to something that I've been resisting because I know it's good for me and I need to do this, that's going to be somehow permanent, and I don't know if I can make that decision. But here's the thing. Boundaries are never permanent. They can always be reset. And here's an example from Scripture. In Acts chapter 15, Paul and Barnabas are in Antioch. And Paul and Barnabas have completed a tremendously fruitful mission around the Mediterranean. They've planted churches in so many cities, and they're back in Antioch. Barnabas is an older Christian who got Paul into the missionary field, right? And Paul and Barnabas are in Antioch reflecting on their work together, and Paul says, "You know what, Barnabas? I really feel like we need to go back to all the churches we've just been to and check up on them. It's been a couple years. Let's go back and encourage them, support them, see if there's anything that we can do." And Barnabas says, "That's a great idea, Paul. Why don't we take Mark with us?" And Paul says, Mark left us halfway during the first journey. He flaked out. He went home. We can't depend upon him. We can't trust him. I don't know why, but somehow this flew all over Barnabas. And Barnabas and Paul, the scripture says, got into a disagreement, which is a polite Christian way to say they got into an argument and a fight. So much so that Paul and Barnabas split up. And they never go on a missionary journey together again. All because Paul set a boundary with Mark that Barnabas didn't agree with. And who's right and who's wrong, I'm not going to get into that fight between Paul and Barnabas because it's not my fight to fight. Right? But it's an example of a boundary that gets established. But it's not permanent. Years later, Paul is writing to Timothy, his young protege. In the second letter of Timothy, in chapter 4, Paul is complaining to Timothy about some other people who have left Paul in the lurch. Now, I don't know what that says about Paul, but sometimes people didn't like to hang out with Paul all that long. He had a little bit of a personality, right? It's okay. He's a brother of ours. If he were here, he'd say the same thing, right? He's passionate, and sometimes people would leave him. And he's complaining in the fourth chapter of 2 Timothy. He's saying, Timothy, I'm being abandoned over here. He says, Demas has fallen in love with the world and moved to Thessalonica. He says, Crescens has gone to Galatia. Titus has left me and gone to Dalmatia. Only Luke is with me now. And then he says this, go get Mark and bring him with you, because he's been very useful to me in my ministry. Boundaries don't have to be permanent. But healthy boundaries restore love. Healthy boundaries can restore relationships. And God's love can restore even relationships that have to be broken in order to be healed. So don't buy into these myths. Rather, trust in the love of God. Trust that God has gathered you in, that God wants you to say yes and no and to mean it. God wants you to respect other people's yeses and nos. God wants you to love, but to love truthfully, to love honestly, so that you may love each other well. And even if a relationship right now is being tested or strained because one or both of you need to reset some boundaries in your life, know that the love of God can heal all brokenness, restore all relationships, and make us healthy and whole. Let's pray. Eternal God, we are so tempted to believe in myths and the ways of this world, and sometimes we don't trust the simple truth that your love can cover all of us, and that all of us make mistakes, and all of us have broken relationships, and all of us have experience when we say yes, when we should have said no, and vice versa. So help us to trust the simple truth that we can love one another truthfully and love each other well by being honest with one another. Knowing that even when we hear words that we don't want to, that it's by being honest and being truthful that we grow more loving. So help us be loving to this world, being honest and giving and sharing, but help us to do those in ways that build us up, that refill us, and that share your love with the world around us. Because you loved us unconditionally, not because of what we can do for you, but you love us because you are our Father. So help us to love one another with that same love. All this we ask in the one who taught us to love one another as he loved us, Jesus the Christ.